All right, let's head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between
that
Hollywood.
That thing's been reopening for a long time, I can tell you that.
Between Hollywood and Sheridan.
That thing, I've been dying to say this. That thing's been reopening for 2 years. You sure we want to change that to it's a great place or something?
Let's check in on that Toyota of Hollywood hotline because Jim Larrinaga is on hold and he does not want to hear us talk about the grand reopening of anything right now. Coach, good morning. Thanks for your time. How you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. Coach, my gosh, man. 2-point loss, 3-point loss, 4-point loss, 4 straight losses now, about as shorthanded as any Division I college basketball program can be right now. Now you lose another player, a freshman, 6'10" freshman, Gack. What do you do, Coach? You got to have a gas team. I mean, you can only call so many timeouts. How do you treat this going forward?
Yeah, well, we're working on it. My staff and I are meeting constantly, reviewing the videotapes, preparing for the next opponent. And it's just what's happened is we don't have the team that we planned to have
right
when this season began. And I'll give you the perfect example. We were overloaded at the five to start the season. We had 4 5 men. Dewan Ewell Hernandez, Abuka Zundu, Rodney Miller,
right,
and Dan Gack. Of those 4 guys, only one of them is available now, Abuka Zundu, and he's foul prone. So we're just so shorthanded up front with our bigs. We had 3 guys who were playing the 4 spot. Dewan Hernandez could play the 4.
Right.
Sam Wardenberg can play the 4. And Anthony Lawrence can play the 4. So without Dewan, Sam Wardenberg starts. And that is problematic because Anthony Lawrence has to play the 3. So really what we have is 1 5-man, 1 4-man, 1 3-man. And then we have basically 4 guards to rotate. So it's been a real challenge for the guys because they get very little rest.
Right.
We're traveling a lot. We traveled to California and back, traveled to Philadelphia and back. And this is right as we were preparing for final exams. So it's been a real challenging early season schedule. The 4 losses in a row is the most I've had in 22 years as a head coach. Mm. So trying to figure out how we overcome this and figure out a way to win the next one. A very tough opponent in Houston Baptist who's already beaten Wake Forest this year.
Wow. Coach, you know, it was fun. I was thinking all these guys that are transferring stuff, you want me to start making some calls? I don't know if you're allowed to or not, and I'm not afraid to help you out a little bit there because you got a few guys aren't happy in other places. We can guarantee them playing time,
that's
Coach.
Right.
You just got to get them eligible, and they can play.
Yeah, it's really recruiting has become really, really challenging right now. Just the whole recruiting culture. Kids are playing AAU ball starting probably around the 7th or 8th grade.
Right.
And what happens is if they don't like the team that they're playing on, because of the lack of playing time, they bounce to another AAU team very, very quickly. And if that doesn't work out, they'll go to a 3rd and even a 4th sometimes. And because of that, they will also change high schools. They'll go to 1 high school. There's a young man that we were looking at. He went to 1 high school and then changed, went to a different high school and then transferred back to his old high school because he just couldn't find what he was looking for in terms of playing time. And his parents were like, no, you got to play. You got to get more playing time. You need to start. And you know, that's kids today. So they get to the college level, they've already developed the mindset
right.
that if things don't work right away, they'll transfer. And so there'll be guys transferring at mid-year. Now, the normal rule is they have to sit a year. That's the NCAA rule. So the young man will have to sit, but you can apply for a waiver. And now the NCAA is agreeing to that waiver and letting kids play right away.
That's crazy.
So we have to keep our eyes and ears open. Yeah. There is now a website that college basketball coaches can go to find out who's announced that they're leaving. So let's say if we had a player, God forbid, that wanted to transfer, he would walk in and tell me he wants to transfer, and I would immediately have to let compliance know, and they would add his name to the list, and then any college coach who just goes on that website can see that young man is
wow.
available.
Free agency website yeah. for college basketball. Amazing.
How about this, though? The NCAA just passed a new rule, and putting the responsibility on the National High School Basketball Federation to make available opportunities for college coaches to see high school players play and evaluate high school players in the month of June, two weekends in June. So the National High School Basketball Federation came out with a list of these are the opportunities that are going to be available. But they're only for public schools.
Oh, God.
So the private schools are not going to be able to do it. All these great private schools who have great players, their kids are not going to be able to participate in the events in June.
Wow.
So the private schools are up in arms as to, hey, this is not fair.
Right.
Like, so if you look at some of the best basketball leagues in the country, the WCAC, which is in the Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, Maryland metropolitan area, that Catholic school league, the private school league there, is tremendous.
Right.
That's the league that Chris Likes played in. That's the league that Markel Fultz played in. And many, many other ACC players. Right? They're not eligible to be in the events in June because they're not in what is called the National Federation of High School Basketball. There's a lot of private schools not available. Oh, there's a high school in Northern Virginia right down the street from George Mason, where we used to go over to recruit all the time, called Paul the Sixth. And Paul the Sixth can't participate. Oak Hill Academy can't participate.
Wow.
Those players. And then there's a whole league of prep schools that are private schools. Their players can't participate.
Well, that's ridiculous.
So there's going to be
crazy.
A major controversy about who's available to be evaluated in June, and more importantly, who's not available to participate.
Coach,
so recruiting is wild, Joe.
Boy,
and
you're
really wild.
Yeah, the culture of high school sports and state of Florida, as you know, has changed some of their rules over the last few years. We're going to see guys and girls in these high school sports coach. I'm not going to be surprised in 4 years. To see all these players go to two or three different high schools. Same deal. I ain't playing. I don't like the coach. Oh, that team's better than this team. And they all want to play together. We're going to see more and more of it. It's today driven by the parents or parent or uncle. It's gotten really bad.
It's constant now. It's not changing. It's just, you know, growing. It's not something that you look at and say, this thing is going to be adjusted to, and kids are going to stay. And you know, excuse me. Do you know what the APR is? The academic progress rating.
Yeah, we know
we
what
heard
it
of
is.
It. Yeah, yes, yes. Yeah.
One of the categories is retention. is can you keep your players at your school? Because the thought was college coaches want to get rid of the guys who are not good players.
Right.
And I can tell you that's really the furthest thing from the truth.
Right.
It's the kids that want to leave. And they're leaving at the drop of a hat to try to find someplace where they can start and be the star of the team. And it's just happening more and more. Even kids, and this is something that's just over the last, I'll say 5 or 7 years, you know the fifth-year transfer, the person who graduates from college but has still 1 year of eligibility.
Yep.
That's a very popular category for college coaches in football and basketball to recruit. Here's a kid who's very physically mature, mentally mature, already has his degree, but has a year of eligibility. So a kid has great success at a lower level, graduates, but had a red shirt maybe because of an injury, and now all of a sudden he makes himself available. So after you groom this kid to be the star of your team, right when he becomes a fifth-year senior, he leaves you and goes and plays for somebody else. Oh, it's crazy.
Boy, the whole thing. Coach, we just got to get back to this original thing. So you only got a certain amount of numbers. When you and the coaching staff meet, as you're right around the corner from starting a conference play, what other things can you do outside of if there's a guy that's a redshirt, take it away from him, tell him, hey, that development year is up, we need you. But what else can you do to find players or wait for the NCAA and the school to tell you you're getting one of your best players back? What else can you do?
Well, that we're just in a waiting game with DeJuan. He's a terrific, you know, young man, and I love him to death. He's a very talented young man. He's a local product. We've invested a lot of time and energy in him. He thought about going pro and actually tested the waters last spring. And now he's not played in our first 9 games.
Oof.
So we have our fingers crossed that he'll be able to get back and play. And we were redshirting Rodney Miller, but, you know, Rodney is redshirting because we had those 4 big guys, and we say, hey, let's redshirt Rodney. But
right.
Now with DeJuan's situation, we don't know if we're going to get him back or not. It doesn't make sense if we get DeJuan back for Rodney to become available to us. And I know he's working really hard towards next season, and his whole mindset has been that way since October. So we have 7 guys, the Magnificent 7. Or
the you Condition know, I 7.
We don't have Denzel Washington on our squad. But, did you guys see that movie?
Coach, I heard you talking about it. I haven't seen that movie, and I know it's out. But
yeah, you got to go see
it. Yeah.
You know, go on demand. It's on demand now. Get it. Hey, let me change the subject a little bit.
Please.
You're on a roll today, Coach.
Yeah, Coach, keep going.
Go ahead.
How about our guy, Eric Swope, who played basketball 4 years at the University of Miami, never played a down of football in elementary school, high school, or college. He's been with the Indianapolis Colts for 3 years and just got picked up by the New Orleans Saints.
Boy, life's good for him.
Right?
Wow.
What are the Saints' record right now? Like 15-2 or something?
The Saints right now are the number one seed, basically, in the NFC, getting ready for the playoffs. They are 11-2 right now.
I'll tell you what, though. He's been a nice story. And actually, I'm not going to be surprised. We see more guys like him athletically that got those big bodies to play tight end in the NFL and be more guys to come.
Wait a minute. It's not just the NFL. How about Rafael Akpajuri? Do you guys remember him?
Yep,
remember the name, yeah.
Rafael played basketball 4 years at the University of Miami. He's 6'10", 245 pounds, a very strong guy. But while he was here, he was also a brilliant student. He got his undergraduate degree and master's degree in engineering.
Whoa.
And then in his fifth year, because he redshirted, he played football here at the University of Miami and then left and became an engineer within our university. But you know what his profession is now?
What?
He's a professional prize fighter.
No.
Come on.
He's a heavyweight boxer. Google him and watch his first professional fight. It's a one-round knockout.
So, Coach, you didn't even know you had a badass on your team at the time. You could have had him take care of all the trouble. That's awesome.
I forget what his record is now, like 3-0 or 4-0 or something. But in his first professional prize fight, it's online if you Google it, and it's a YouTube video, and he's 6'10", and the guy he's going against is probably about 6 feet. And he works him into a corner and just pummels him.
Wow.
And the referee has to stop the fight and declare him the winner.
That's so amazing.
He's called the Nigerian Hurricane.
That's awesome.
That's
awesome. That is great.
Coach, that's good.
Google Nigerian Hurricane. It'll come up. So we've got multi-sport athletes. And between Eric Swope playing in the NFL and Raphael playing
prize fighter,
that's great stuff. Yeah.
And now we've got so many guys playing in the NBA. So we're having success. We just got to get healthy right now.
That's it.
And try to put some wins together.
You got to change that recruiting pitch. Yeah. If you want to play in the NFL, be a prize fighter, or play in the NBA, come to the University of Miami.
Come see me right away.
Well done, Coach.
Always great having you. Thank you so much. Appreciate you coming on.
All right, guys. Yeah, see ya.
All right, Coach Jim Larrañaga, the University of Miami, talkative today, ready to go today.